Today on The Line of Fire, I want to hear from you. What are the toughest questions you're facing? What do you feel are the greatest issues facing society and the church today in America?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the first 2 days of this week, as my heart has just been burning with different issues I wanted to share with you, I've done a whole lot of the talking, and I have not heard from you as much, given you as much opportunity to weigh in. I was just talking to a pastor friend, dear coworker on Long Island, and we were talking about some of the critical issues facing the church today, and I was planning on asking some questions today. It just reminded me of a few more questions I wanted to ask, so today on The Line of Fire, different than Friday, where you've got questions, I've got answers. Today, I've got questions, and you've got the answers. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Some interesting news, tidbits, interaction with some folks I want to share with you as well. But here's what I especially want to do on the broadcast today. So make sure you jot down these numbers, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I've got a couple of questions for you, and they're separate questions, and you can call to respond to either of these. One question is this. What do you feel are the toughest questions that you get confronted with, the toughest issues that you have to face that you're unable to answer? Social, spiritually related questions, the things that you're getting hit with, and you don't feel that you have good answers, or your answers don't seem to minister to or speak to the people that you're addressing. Maybe your kids come home from school and raise questions, issues, and you don't feel that you have solid answers. What are the big questions you're facing? Does it have to do with atheism? Does it have to do with social issues? Does it have to do with biblical beliefs? Does it have to do with other religions? Does it have to do with problems within the church? What are the biggest questions you're facing? I want to hear them, and some of them hopefully will answer. So I have questions, you have answers, but your answers will be questions, then I'll have answers, hopefully. But then I've got another set of questions for you. What do you personally feel is the biggest issue? If you had to point your finger at the number one biggest issue facing America today, and facing the church then, those may be two totally separate things. What do you feel are the biggest issues facing society today? Is it economy? Is it political? Is it spiritual? Is it moral? Something in particular? Is it a world issue? What do you feel is the biggest issue facing the society today? And what do you feel is the biggest issue facing the church today? So we got three separate things going here, all right? First question to you, and I'm not asking you to weigh in on all of them, and I won't have time to let everyone weigh in on all of them, but you weigh in on any one of these. First question for you, what are the biggest questions you are facing? Biggest challenges? I don't have an answer for that. All right? I'm unable to respond with clarity to this question, to this issue. That's one. Second, what do you personally feel is the number one biggest issue we are facing here in America as a society? And maybe the same, maybe different answer. What's the number one issue, the biggest issue we are facing in the church? Your own opinion in the world in which you live, and the experience and background that you have. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to post some of these questions on Facebook as well at Ask Dr. Brown, which reminds me of some interesting interaction I've had with a fellow named David on my Facebook page, on the Ask Dr. Brown page. I'm going to share that with you in a moment as well. But I want to hear from you today. 866-34-TRUTH. What's your take on any of these issues? Stay with us. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, folks, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I've got questions for you. What are the struggles, questions you're being presented with that you are unable to answer socially, spiritually? I don't mean someone's got a verse in the Bible you're struggling with, okay? I mean, more broadly, issues that you are being confronted with as a believer. And another question, what do you feel is the number one biggest issue facing society today? What's the number one biggest issue facing the church today? Now, I'm not asking you to weigh in on all of these, but any one or two of them. I may ask you why you feel that way. I'm not going to challenge your view. I may want to understand it a little bit better. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I have done so much talking the last few days. Well, hey, it's talk radio. It's my show. But I want to hear from you. I want you to do a lot more of the talking today. All right, let's start with Dan in Severn, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. This is something that I struggle with. It first came to me right before the 08 election, okay, when I basically, you know, meet a lot of people through my business and what have you, and my son was in a basketball league called Upwards, which is basically a Christian league, and the one church we went to, which had a gym, it was like, you know, half the cars, it seems like, I'm probably exaggerating, but half the cars, including those cars that were parked in the staff area, it had Obama stickers on it, okay? And to me, it's like, wait a minute now, how can you call yourself a Christian? I mean, it very clearly says in the Bible, if any man names the name of Christ, he will depart from iniquity. And I personally don't know of anything more iniquitous on the face of this earth than mutilating little babies to death, torturing them to death, you know, while they're still alive.
So, Dan, this would be a blanket conviction that if someone calls themselves a Christian, they cannot vote for a pro-abortion candidate?
That's the question that's out there. You know, I'm not trying to judge people and say, I know so many people through my business, especially African-Americans, because I know they go like, you know, 90% or more for Democrats, whether it's Obama or not. And it's more of a cultural thing. And, of course, I'm not here to judge them. And they're wonderful people, most of the people that I talk to. But I don't understand that personally. You know, it's like if you really have Christ inside of you, the truth comes inside of you. You're still going to struggle with sin, but iniquity is something different. You know, iniquity is, I think when he says you'll depart from iniquity, he doesn't say you'll depart from sin because he knows until we die we're going to struggle with sin as Christians. But my question to America is this. How can anyone call themselves a Christian when they go out and vote for the baby mutilating Democrats religiously every 2 years? And I'm not being political. I don't care about the Republicans. They're wishy-washiers as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Well, Dan, let me just dive in here. I appreciate that. You know, many of our Black American listeners would say that, some would say, it's cultural to vote Democratic. Some would say that they want a Black president. But many would say that they feel that on other social issues, larger social issues, the Democrats are better than Republicans, and they're looking at social justice.
And that's all a lie, really.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that would be right.
Well,
I'm
just saying,
Dan, hang on. I'm just saying that would be their perspective. I draw the line in the same place. If a candidate is pro-abortion, I cannot vote for that candidate, no matter how good they may be on other issues. I cannot. I believe that's reprehensible in God's sight for a candidate to be pro-abortion, and I could not vote for them no matter how good they were on other points. But Dan, thank you, sir, for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. What, in your opinion, is the number one issue facing society today here in America? What, in your opinion, is the number one issue facing the church today? And totally separate question, but we'll get to some of these as well. What are the toughest questions you're presented with, you're hit with, that you feel unable to answer in a clear, sober, comprehensive, truth-filled way? 866-34-TRUTH. Norm in Annapolis, Maryland, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think number one issue facing the country and our churches today, and our churches, is materialism. And that people believe they have to dress a certain way or they have to impress others with what they have, which breeds jealousy and contempt by other people, and we seem to lose sight of, you know, why we're even going to church or what the word is, you know, in the Bible to begin with. I noticed that I'll walk through during a sermon because I assist in being or helping out the church, and I'll see people playing on their iPhones or their iPads or whatnot, latest and greatest technology. It's one of those, hey, look what I've got, I must be important type of thing. So materialism, I believe, is the number one thing that's hurting America today. And the
got
church.
It. Hey, Norm, I appreciate you weighing in with that. You know, it reminds me, I've got a whole chapter in my book, Revolution, the Call of Holy War, about smashing the gods, the idols of materialism. It's a much more comprehensive issue. It is getting caught up with this world. It is getting caught up with this life in a way that chokes out eternity. Eternity, living in the light of eternity, is what really gives meaning to this world, is what really gives meaning to the life that we have in this world. But so many other things, the thorns that choke the word, make it unfruitful, the distractions of the world, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, saying if you could just have this, then you have your needs met, then you are satisfied. The desires for other things. We have a culture that is built on playing into our desires for other things. And materialism, when Richard Wurmbrand had been ransomed out of imprisonment in Romania, where he had been tortured and terribly abused over a period of 14 years and was imprisoned a second time, and 3 years in horrific solitary confinement and daily torture and on and on. And he comes to the States, and here he is in the States, and he's at a Bible study. A friend of mine who's with the Lord now was there, and he's talking about the horrors of communism and the persecution the church is suffering and everything they're going through there. And afterwards, one of the brothers there, one of the fellows, this particular gentleman that I mentioned, he asked Pastor Wurmbrand, why is it that we don't have to deal with communism here in America? And Wurmbrand responded to him and said, oh, you have something far worse. You have materialism. The gods of this world, the gods of this age, bowing down to earthly things, getting caught up with the spirit of this age, it blinds us, it robs us. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Joey, I have lost connection with the stack here, so I'll be going back to phones shortly, but not sure if something happened on your end, but I have completely lost connection on mine, just to let you know. Here's some interaction that I had with someone named David on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. My bottom line Monday, so my closing comments Monday, as you've seen in the broadcast today, there are people who don't want us addressing these issues, who want us to step off the front lines here, who are telling us to just go in the closet. Sorry, it's not going to happen. Well, this fellow named David, apparently living in France, writes and says, that's not true. Nobody's telling you to go in the closet or stop exercising your right to free speech. Journalists, however, are being advised to question the kernel of your message. After all, your motives and animus are barely veiled. Your sources are all academic failures who have been thoroughly debunked, some even caught red-handed in Red Boy scandals. So when you're interviewed by the press, those journalists need to know that you are not experts, rather certified hate groups. You have every right to express your hurtful, bigoted, archaic ideas and every right to receive criticism for said bunk. So I wrote back, David, of course people are telling me that day and night. In writing in other ways, in other words, they want me to go in the closet or stop exercising my free speech. I said, in any case, since you decided to post here, go ahead and tell me, one, what are my motives? Two, who and what are my academic sources? Three, what have I written in a queer thing happened to America that is not factually documented? Four, name for me one thing that I hold to that is contrary to God's word and is hurtful and bigoted. Please do this in order with documentation and facts, okay? Unless you are the one engaging in bigotry and hate speech with obvious motives and animus. Thanks. I look forward to your response. So he wrote back, in your March 19th post on townhall.com, you claim GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, seeks to silence and discredit opposing voices. This is not true. It is a lie. You are a liar. This is the way the guy writes. The organization seeks to make it known to journalists that you distort information and do not represent the majority of Christians. As for distortion, in the same post, you purport that gay activists want Christians jailed, yet you provide no proof of any LGBT leader advocating any such thing. Your motives, like many other religious leaders' motives, are to maintain your privileged status and your traditional scapegoats, without which you might feel lessened. By religious leaders, I mean Sikhs, Buddhists, Muslims, Catholics, and numerous Protestant denominations. The common goal is maintain tax-exempt status and psychological control over believers who provide much of your funding. Money and power, that's it. He goes on with his rant a little bit. I responded to him. You share my response, get your calls, we come back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. You know, I normally do not interact with my own articles on different websites, but I decided to do so today on onenewsnow.com, which has posted my article exposing the hypocrisy of GLAD. So go to onenewsnow.com. And read the article exposing the hypocrisy of GLAD and share it with your friends. It's important stuff that needs to get out. So this fellow David on my Facebook page continues his attack. Your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is self-published and is only peer-reviewed. Is from scientists, science-eschewing non-specialists like yourself. It has been critiqued by SBLP for plundering the bunk and junk of North, that sweet organization run by Rent Boy aficionados. Here's one link to an SBLC article on you and your evil ways. I'm sorry. As for one thing you might have done that is contrary to your imaginary God's supposed words, I venture to say that bearing false witness is quite a hefty charge. You are a liar and a fraud. Your animus has been clearly demonstrated. That is why you're on the SBLC certified hate group list. Does that answer your question, sir? I responded, David, no, doesn't answer my questions. All it does is give your undocumented opinions and apparently makes you out to be the liar, let alone a seriously judgmental person. And then I go point for point, refuting every word he said, and said, so David, do some serious soul searching. When I speak the truth, you call it a lie. When others lie about me, which now includes you, you call it truth. Isn't that a sign of a deeper problem in your heart? I will give you the benefit of the doubt and say you have not intentionally lied, but are rather tragically misinformed, as your post shouted with every line. But if you want to engage here on my Facebook page, please come with facts, not misinformation and sinful judgments. Fair enough? We'll see. We'll see if he responds. 866-34-TRUTH. Greatest problems facing the church, greatest problems facing society today. Reed in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead,
yes,
please. You're on the air.
The main problem I see with America is immorality and lawlessness. I just want to put that out there.
May I ask you a question, Reed? How old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm 67 years old.
67. Okay, so you've got me by 10 years. So your perspective is even broader than mine. Obviously, America has had all kinds of issues through the decades. We've been far from a perfect or Christian society. But as far as immorality, lawlessness, how were things when you were growing up as a kid compared to how they are now?
Well, obviously, it's much different. There, you know, the families would watch out for one another. Your parent, you know, they would see that you didn't get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Community-wide,
it would be understood that another parent could talk to a kid and put them in line because there was respect for parents in general.
Yes, it was. And you just had, really, personally, I just had it was a fear of me of authority.
Yeah.
I was made to know that this person has authority over me.
Yep.
And I didn't step out of line.
We didn't have TV shows celebrating 16-year-old out of wedlock pregnancies.
Yes.
And it's a very different world that people are growing up in. We've made progress in certain areas, but in so many others, especially the ones you mentioned, immorality
right.
and lawlessness, where's the respect of authority? Where's the consciousness of God in all of it? It's just,
correct. And there are so many young mothers now, now currently, that their children raising children. And
yes. Yes.
They don't have that respect that the parents are, you know, disrespecting the child. You know, they curse at them because I hear this, you know, during the day to and from work. And you're tearing down a child's spirit. And
yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of these folks have several strikes against them right from the mm-hmm. start, you know, because that's how they were raised.
Right.
And they haven't been in the normal family structure. So, I mean, we really need a sweeping revival that brings sweeping change to our families and our societies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. May the Lord hear our cry and help us to live this out. Thank you for weighing in, Reed. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Marvin in Ellicott City, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, one of the problems I think I see in the church, the body of Christ, is the lack of complacency in the church with regard to lack of response to some of the social issues. And, you know, I don't hear many leaders. I heard Franklin Graham make a statement about President Obama. He could not essentially support him because of his stand on, you know, the abortion issue. And he's the only Christian leader I've heard on a national basis speak out against this issue, and I don't understand why. One of the things I've noticed is that we as Christians, we look at ourselves as black Democrats or white Republicans. We don't look at ourselves first and foremost as Christians. Mm. So we have a tendency to vote not so much on the character of the person, but on the party. So then we, you know, therefore compromise our spiritual integrity by voting, you know, blanket Democrat because you're black or whatever, you know, party affiliation based on culture. Yeah. And what happens essentially is we put ourselves in the position that we're in now where there are social issues where, again, the church is not responding, you know, to the degree I think that they should. And is it across ethnic lines, party lines, or racial lines? I don't know, but it's certainly not across spiritual lines. We don't make a statement the same way, let's say, the gay community does or Planned Parenthood, for example.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. Obviously, they would often look at us, those on the other side of the fence, and think that we're well-organized and have it together. I did an interview on a gay radio station one time, Queer Channel Radio, I was asked to do an interview on, and I found it interesting. After I was off the air, I listened a few weeks later to the rest of the show, and they were talking about how the evangelicals are so much better organized than they are. You know, so each side can look at it, but you know, I see it the same way you do, the lack of unity. And I've told people that a tiny percent of the population, the homosexual community, has accomplished so much because they don't go to a gay meeting once a week. In other
right.
words, to them, this is a matter of who I am. This is a matter of rights and my very existence and equality and being able to live my life. So it's a much more consuming issue, whereas, yeah, the complacency. Marvin, I got a break coming up here, but I mean, I can't tell you how much that grieves me. Because
I tell you,
part
the church
calling,
right now is frozen in disunity. And when we stand
before
Jesus Christ, we're going to be held held accountable not for the party we're associated with, but the decisions we make regard divine principles.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, I've got to cut you off. I know you've got more good things to say, but thank you. When you talk about the complacency issue, man, part of my calling is to sound the alarm. It burns in me. What's it going to take for us to wake up to reality? Great Commission, eternity, social justice, what's it going to take? Thank you for the call. All right, friends, I'm pleased to say that folks heard me yesterday, and a bunch of you have called in to get hold of one of the most important books I ever wrote, How Saved Are We?, written to believers to get under your skin and get you going after God and remind you of what really matters. We've packaged it together with an audio CD, Call to Die. Trust me, you'll never be the same after reading this book and listening to this message and absorbing it in your heart. $20 postage paid for both. 1-800-278-9978. Trust me on this. Your life will be impacted. 1-800-278-9978. Wake up time. The alarm continues to sound.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Today is a day where I want to hear from you. I want to get your perspective, your take on things. What do you feel is the biggest, number one issue facing society today? What do you feel is the number one biggest issue facing the church today? It could be two different answers. You can weigh in on either of those. And the third question, what are the biggest questions you're hit with from your peers, from your kids, from others, through the media, that, and you realize, I don't have an answer for this. I don't have an answer for this. What are the toughest questions you're facing? Three separate questions I want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-384-8784. Okay, first, on the lighter side, received an email from a young man. He and his wife were taking their baby boy to be circumcised today. And they have some of my books on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. And they were going not to have this done in a hospital by the doctor at birth. This was after the child was born. Jewish tradition is on the eighth day that it's done, based on God's word to Abram back in the scriptures before he was even Abraham. And so to this day, that's when Jews will circumcise their babies. Sometimes their health issues, you know, there are things to be after. But otherwise, you're a traditional Jew. You're not going to have your baby circumcised at birth 8 days later. Anyway, their baby's been born, this couple. They're not Jewish, but they wanted to have a Jewish rabbi do the circumcision. So they were going to the rabbi today to have him circumcise their baby boy. And the husband emailed me and said, hey, I'm thinking of giving the moil, that's the mohel in Hebrew, moil colloquially, that's the rabbi who performs the circumcision. I'm thinking of giving him one of your Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus books and just trying to think of a discreet way to do it. What would you recommend? I'd like to get him interested in reading it. What do you recommend? So I wrote back and said, whatever you do, wait until he finishes the circumcision. You don't want to give the rabbi one of my books on answering Jewish objections to Jesus right before he's about to circumcise your son. So let him do the circumcision first. Let him cut and snip. Then afterwards, you can talk to him about answering Jewish objections to Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Roger in Westchester, New York. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi. The callers have been great, what they've been saying. I agree with them 100%. But I think that in society, political correctness is the worst possible thing. It's like the blacklist of the 50s today. You can't have an opinion. If you disagree with me, you're a hater. You know, and with the church needs to wake up to evangelize people. And I also would love to see racial and ethnic unity in the church. You know, it's like that would be such a witness to the world.
Yeah, I mean, it remains true. You know, Martin Luther King said years ago, the most segregated hour in America is 11 to 12 on Sunday mornings. There's obviously no problem with believers. You know, you may come from Korea, say, and you don't speak English, you have a Korean service and those kind of things, you know, ethnic expression and differences. But obviously, our inability to unify, and this is not pointing fingers in any direction, our, just as you're saying it, is a problem. Yeah. And the political correctness thing, it is. Look, when I was growing up, you could have comedians and they would crack ethnic jokes and things like this and everybody would laugh. And you know, it was done in a lighthearted way. And I imagine, you know, I don't know who the comedians are. Are they the big ones? Or so I don't know what goes on. But it seems that even little lighthearted comments that somebody makes in any direction, everything is so offensive. And then what it ends up happening is, instead of just being sensitive in a wise way, we end up compromised. We end up with our hands tied. Be sensitive, be compassionate, be understanding, for sure. But it's gotten hyper. And it is the thought police. The thought police are out there. It's true. Not just with gay activist issues and a host of issues. Thank you for the call, Roger. We'll be back with your calls.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are hearing from you today, getting your perspective on the greatest problem, in your mind, your judgment, facing the church or facing society as a whole. Come on, you're looking at this right now. If you put your finger on one thing needs to be addressed. This is the biggest. This is the most critical. This is the most urgent. Just like someone is, I'm not a doctor, but it's common sense here. Someone's wheeled into the emergency room with multiple injuries. They've been hit by a car. They've got multiple injuries. You know, the doctors are going to assess the situation and do their best to address the biggest problem first, the thing that's the most life-threatening. Okay, they're bleeding, you know, there's concussive, you know, brain injuries and bleeding on the brain, and okay, it's broken legs, and but we've got to deal with the brain first, or whatever it is. What's number one issue facing the society today or facing the church today? 866-34-TRUTH. This is just your take, your opinion, as you look out at things, as you look out at the spiritual and social landscape. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Michael in Nederland, Texas. Is that how you pronounce it, or is it Nederland?
Nederland.
Sorry. Yeah, it's not land. It's Nederland. Nederland, Texas. Thank you, sir, for setting me straight.
Okay. I think the biggest issue concerning is false Christianity. What they practice or purport to practice on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings is not what's practiced out there in their everyday life away from the church. I see it at my workplace, and I see it in my community. It just doesn't seem as if there's I don't even know how to put it on there other than to just say false Christianity.
Yeah.
You go to church with 300 people, and maybe 150 of them are just showing up, like the last caller said, for political correctness.
Yeah, or maybe 10 are really living things out before the Lord. Thank God for those congregations where it's really rock solid, where there's consistency and discipleship. But I can't remember in my lifetime now, say 40 years, Michael, where there's been so much Christian talk and so little Christian living.
Yes, exactly. I'm 53 years old, and that's the way I see it, is that there's a lot of talk, a lot of research, and a lot of discussion, but very little walking.
You know, I never followed the career of Miley Cyrus closely. I'd see stuff in the news, didn't even know who this was until certain news items started coming up. But she was what, Hannah Montana? And
yeah.
You know, Disney girl for the kids. And I found out from one of our daughters, one that lives here near us in North Carolina, that she never wanted her own daughter, who's now 11, but she was younger, didn't want her exposed to it, just felt there was something funny with Hannah Montana. Well, anyway, so then she's, you know, now Miley Cyrus, she's become, you know, teenager and coming into her, older teenage years and stuff. And there is some controversy with the Miss California candidate a few years ago with Perez Hilton asked a direct question about same-sex marriage, and this gal gave a truthful answer, you know. I mean, as nicely as she could, but
you're
right. So she gets blasted. So anyway, I read that, you know, Miley Cyrus, look, I'm a Christian, and, you know, I read some other articles. She's really interested in the book of Job, you know, studies the Bible every day, whatever, and I'm a Christian, and you're right, Perez, standing with him. And I thought, what bogus nonsense. This is just
right.
And I said to myself,
I'm grateful for people who persevere through it all. I truly am grateful for the ones that persevere.
Yeah, and of course you had the other contradiction that you got, you know, bikini-clad gal, you know, posing for Miss California, who's being the voice of righteousness. I mean, that's another picture, though, of the Christianity of America, you know? So anyway, I remember reading that, and I didn't wish evil on this Miley Cyrus gal, but I just thought, this is not Christianity there. And she's going to go the same way these others have gone. She's going to grow up in all the worldliness and, you know, all this other stuff. So sadly, you read the reports, and that's what happens. But that's like a picture of the Christianity. People talk about it. They use the terminology. They're even reading the Bible. You know, I read a note by a guy the other day, and he said he's just learned to follow Jesus in humility, and he doesn't really believe the Bible is God's word anymore. It's like, yeah, it's just it's epidemic, and it comes back to us as leaders in the body. What are we doing? What are we modeling? What are we teaching and preaching? It comes back to my generation, your generation. What are we bequeathing to our kids? Hey, Michael, thank you for calling in.
All right,
I appreciate
thank
it. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let's stay along these lines here. Bob in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for having the program as you are. I agree with you. The problem rests with you, Mr. Brown, in that you're in a leadership position and the leaders are not united themselves. We have the Pharisees all over the place, and that's what I see as the struggle. And until the leadership steps up, as you mentioned, Martin Luther King, we need someone like that who's going to stand out there. And there's been so much deception and deceit and so forth. You know, I'm a advocate of the 12-step program. The 12-step program is a means of defining your own God, and people find God there and then start practicing it. It needs some clarity of who that God is, not with being shoved down your throat, and that's what's taking place. And I'd like your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I can't comment on the 12-step part. I mean, aside from the fact that we have to know who the real God is, I've never been involved with that in any personal way. But this much I can say: there are, I know lots and lots of leaders across America who are working together every way they know how, for corporate repentance, for prayer, for fasting, for works of obedience, for working together in different ways. Plenty. I know plenty of humble men and women of God who love the Lord and who want to do the right thing, and yet the problems are just deeper. The lack of unity, those have been issues. I mean, Paul addresses it in 1 Corinthians, just with maybe 75 believers in Corinth, there's schisms and lack of unity. But it is the heart of God. Jesus prays for it. There have been some movements going in the right direction in terms of bringing people together. But basically, what we have to do is we've got to keep humbling ourselves and repenting. And as a leader, with fellow leaders, we have to keep saying we have to do better. We have to go before the Lord. You know, all too often when I address issues, social moral issues on the radio here, I'll have people call in and say, you're one of the few doing it. It shouldn't be like that. So basically, as long as we keep pointing the finger back at ourselves, keep humbling ourselves before the Lord, repenting of our own shortcomings, and seeking to honor the Lord and do what's right, he will meet us. He does have mercy on those who humble themselves. Now, here's the other thing. Unity is very important for many, many different reasons. At the same time, if any of us individually can get hold of God in a deeper way, it can spread, it can become contagious. If a remnant can get hold of things, God can move through that remnant and shake whole communities and even a nation.
Well, you know, the 12-step program was basically founded by Christians. And actually, there's a 12-step program they call Celebrate Recovery, which is Christ-based. And what that does is everyone takes responsibility of looking at themselves. You know, it started from AA. The alcoholic, you know, came together to help themselves. And that's what Christ came, is for those who were down and out, who didn't find a sense of someone on their side. And he said, I'll be on your side. And that's the struggle. You know, interesting.
Bob, yeah, I just need to jump in, only because I've just been soliciting folks take on the greatest problem, greatest issue. But I appreciate you weighing in on that. And again, I've got no expertise or background in the 12-step program. And for me, the great concentration is always preaching Jesus, drawing people to him. And to whatever extent 12-step goes in harmony with that, great. But, sir, I appreciate the call. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Diane, also in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good. My sense overall inside the body of Christ is that the church is really afraid. There's a lot of fear in the body, and I think it mainly stems from their lack of knowledge of the Word. And I can't fault the leaders because we're all responsible for, right, you know, looking at the Word ourselves. But I sense, my overall sense is that the church is walking in fear and that the materialism is coming out of fear because they're trying to meet their own needs without God. They're trying to meet their needs in different ways. Like even the immorality, a lot of times even in the church, people are sleeping out of marriage because they think God isn't going to provide for them. And I think if we would just get into the Word, believe the Word, and really act like we say we are, we're believers, right? If we would actually do that, I think we would begin to see that God really is as faithful as He says He's going to be.
Yeah.
What happens in the world?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to jump in. I like what you're saying. Stay with me. I'll bring you right back on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Make sure, friends, if you live in the greater New York area, please put this on your calendar. March 31st, it's 10 days from today, it's a Saturday, 6 to 8 in the evening, I'm going to be doing an intimate meet and greet just for our New York, greater New York listeners on WMCA. A special meet and greet. We're limited to only 50 people. It will be right in the heart of Manhattan. I'll give you more details on it, but put it on your calendar. March 31st, 6 to 8. You'll have to RSVP, so we'll have a count of folks coming, but it's going to be a great opportunity for an intimate face-to-face gathering. 866-34-TRUTH. Diane, thanks for holding. So before the break, you were saying that you feel there's a lot of fear in the church, and people are doing worldly things.
Right.
Because they don't know the Word, they don't know His promises.
Right.
So do you think that's pervasive? In other words, it covers lots of wrong behaviors, attitudes, doing wrong things, failing to do right things because we just don't know what God's Word really says.
Right, because when we don't know God's Word and we don't understand that He is a completely faithful God, He will do what He says He will do, right? You start to go, oh, no, I'm panicking, I'm nervous, maybe He won't bring me the right mate, so maybe I have to sleep with someone, or maybe He won't, you know, bring me the things I need to pay my rent, or He won't, whatever. It's that we get fearful, we don't believe. And unfortunately, the world is walking in massive fear, not even knowing there's someone to believe. And because we don't believe, it's very difficult for them to believe that we have anything. So it breaks my heart when I think that the world is sitting out there in the same level of darkness, and they're in darkness and fear. We're in the light and fear, and I'm thinking, who's going to bring the light? So
You're right. I mean, and that obviously nails a lot of it, that what God's promised, what He's called us to, when we walk in it, there's a massive, massive difference. Hey, thank you for calling. Thank you for the observations, Diane. May God help all of us to be people of the Word, people of the Spirit, people living this out. Joseph in Newark, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Joseph.
Hello. Oh, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Good, man. You're on the air.
Yeah, I have to let it out. I just love you so much. I love your show.
Thank you,
sir. You inspire me. But I think the great problem of the society and the church is the teaching of the church. Especially doctrine like once you say you can lose your salvation, once you make that sinner prayer, you can't lose your salvation. The carnality and the preaching, I'd like to emphasize this on yesterday broadcast. You brought it out and explained it so well. And people are not ready to repent because a good person could go to heaven and don't need to repent because he made a sinner prayer once and he's gone to heaven. So that's the teaching is the greatest problem to me. The greatest problem is the teaching. The people are leading, people are astray, and people are deceiving themselves, thinking that they're going to be there one time in the future, and they have no relationship with the Lord. They're not looking to repent because I told them that they just have to be in the church once and how to send a prayer, and that should be okay. And
Joseph,
sinful nature,
Yeah, when we lived in Pensacola, Florida, which is really Bible Belt, there are like probably like 600 churches just in the greater Pensacola area. I computed the amount of people per church in Pensacola, Florida, compared to the amount of people per church in New York City, and it was mind-bogglingly different. But our students do an outreach on the streets every week. We'd run into people coming out of bars drunk and or high, or, you know, together with someone that, you know, doing wrong things with. And when our students begin to talk to them, they just quote scripture back to them, say, "Oh, I'm saved. I'm saved." Because they heard that message, or they were raised in it, and they thought because they were raised in it, they're therefore Christian. Could you imagine what America would look like if Christians really lived out the Christian faith, Messianic Jews really lived out the Messianic Jewish faith, we really lived out our faith, and the world actually found out what it meant to be a follower of Jesus? Would that not be outrageous? By God's grace, it's going to happen, Joseph, and the bottom line is it can always happen with any of us individually. Hey, I want to grab one more call, but thank you, sir, for calling. Thanks for the good word. Maybe I'll see you at the meet and greet in Manhattan 10 days from now. Newark's not too far away. Thanks for the call, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. If you don't get through now, hang on, and we'll take your calls over into the next hour. Andrew, you can let folks know that as they call in. Ray in Greenville, South Carolina, we're a little short on time, so go for it. Thank you.
Hey, good to hear from you. It's great to be on the air.
Thank you.
I'd like to say that the problem is there is a lack of power because there's a lack of fellowship with Christ, with God through the Holy Spirit. You know, Moses spent 40 days out in the wilderness. Jesus spent 40 days out in the wilderness. The apostles, that they tarry in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. God's people don't have the power, and because we don't have the fellowship, and because we don't have all those things, we can't walk in Christ, and we can't demonstrate God's love, because that's the one thing that's going to bring people to salvation, is living in Christ, in His love, walking in the Holy Spirit, in His power, and that's going to break the yoke of sin, not following man. The church
let me just say this, Ray. I spoke to this a chapel service earlier today for Inspiration Network, not far from you, over in Indian Land, you know, Rock Hill, towards Rock Hill, South Carolina. And I was just reading from John 15. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing. And if you remain united with me, you'll bear much fruit." I said, we can have all kinds of activity. We can have all kinds of big ministries. We can do all kinds of things, and it's not necessarily bearing fruit, and it's not necessarily being effective. The Great Commission, the gospel, being salt, light, cannot be carried out in our human strength. Ray, I've got to tell you, sometimes I've confessed to God the sin of self-sufficiency. In other words, if I think I can run hard and get this done, as opposed to getting alone with Him and being in quality fellowship with Him, united heart, mind, soul, spirit with the Lord so that His life and power working through me, then I'm basically telling the Lord I can do it on my own. And boy, of course the world is going to reject our witness when it doesn't come in truth that and power and conviction, the work of the Spirit. So, Ray, you've nailed another big issue. And again, nothing stopping any of us individually from going after God, is there? Nothing stopping us at all. Here's something that will help ignite you. I want to get this in your hands. It's very inexpensive. This is not a money-making venture on our part. Trust me, when you package a book and a CD and do it on radio time and send them out postage paid together for $20, this is not a money-making venture. I want to get this into your hands, as many of you as possible. This book will ignite you. How saved are we? I mean, you'll read it, and it'll be a knife of conviction in you and God calling you deeper. And the message, "Call to Die," could radically change your life, just that single message. So I want to get these into your hands as best as possible. So just $20 postage paid. If you can help with an additional gift, that's awesome. But everybody listening, order this for yourself, and this will help you to be the person God's calling you to be. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. My bottom line, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Jesus said, if we remain united with Him, He united with us, we will bear much fruit. It's not our great speech. It's not our great activity. It's not our great gifting. It's the life of Jesus flowing through us. That is what we need, and that is what the world needs. Today on The Line of Fire, I want to hear from you. What are the toughest questions you're facing? What do you feel are the greatest issues facing society and the church today in America?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, today I've got questions and you've got answers because I want to hear what's on your heart. I want to hear what you have to say. Just had a fascinating hour listening to my listeners here on the Line of Fire, asking you some questions and getting feedback from you. Here's the number to call, and I'll tell you what the questions are. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. No, don't call first before you know what the questions are, because I want to hear answers to some specific questions, your opinion, your take, your perspective. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I've also got some interesting articles I want to share with you, one in particular that you'll find interesting if you live in North Carolina. Actually, the whole country will find it interesting, but especially North Carolina. And, a few other stories I'll get to, some interesting interaction I'm having with folks online. I never, almost never, the rarest of rare times will I interact with people who respond to my articles on neutral websites. On my own website, I'll interact. But on other websites like townhall.com or onenewsnow.com, folks that publish a lot of my articles, I don't get involved in the discussion. Today, I decided to. So I'm having some interesting interaction there. It's amazing what happens when you respond. People throw out their rhetoric, their lines, and then you respond, and it just stops there, dies there, because there's not a counter response. Fascinating. All right, so some questions for you. This is just your perspective. We're not naming names. We're not pointing fingers at specific individuals. We're asking some large questions. Are you ready? Just your perspective on any one of the following. Number one, what do you feel is the greatest issue facing the society today, the greatest problem in our society today? I mean, for some, you think it's the political divide. For some, it's abortion issue, for degeneration of the family. For some, it's, you know, the economic breakdown. For some, it's foreign threats. For some, it's gay activism. For some, it's the backslidden church. What, in your view, is the number one problem facing society today? And then, second question, although you may have the same answer for both, what's the number one problem facing the church today? So first, what's the number one problem facing the world today? Number two, what's the number one problem facing the church, the society as a whole and the church in particular, in case I didn't say that right? And then we may get to this as well. What are problems that you are facing in terms of questions that are coming your way that you are unable to answer? Things you are getting hit with that you are unable to answer, that you don't have a good response for. Your kids come home and throw things at you. You're watching TV and someone raises an argument and think, well, I just don't have an answer for that. I'm not talking about, you know, what's your answer to a specific Bible verse. Talk about these larger issues that we're facing. Okay, on the lighter side, before we get into this, Saturday night I was watching our grandkids for a little while, then bring them to our house where Nancy watched them for a bit while our kids were out. And I had to run some errands at a few different places, and I had them with me, Eliana 11, Andrew 8. And I don't know how this came up, but Eliana said, you know, Grandpa, every 1 second a person dies, and every 1 second another person is born. Then Andrew chimed in from the back seat. He goes, no, it's I think it's every 1 second a person dies, and every two seconds a person is born. And I said, it's always important to check these things, find out exactly. And then Eliana said, no, I heard this from a pregnant woman. She said it. Pregnant woman said it. And Andrew said, pregnant women are crazy. To which Eliana said, that's for me to find out and you to never know. The mouth of babes. All right, we'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire as I type out responses to crazy comments online. How do you like this one? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A fellow named Todd, when I said, hey, show me something false I've said about the gay and lesbian community. Someonenewsnow.com, he says, you obviously and ridiculously believe we gays are destroying our society. You had to self-publish an entire book trying to convince people of such lies, and therefore what you put out to the public enshrines complete hatred, regardless of your intentions. Let's just see. We've got lies, hatred mentioned so far, intentions which, in my opinion, are not as holy as you'd like all to believe through your civil discourse. I could literally find hundreds of quotes of yours from previous articles that are complete lies. There's lies again. Homosexuality and bestiality, pedophilia being equivocal, one of your most used, which, of course, I don't say. Got that completely wrong. Certainly, you don't want all that aired here in the comments of your own article. Either you are blind, Dr. Brown, or a complete liar. This liar the fourth time. Liar's the fourth time. Regardless, you're exactly what GLAAD says you are, and the LGBT community will continue to point out your false prophecy. All right, it's a false prophecy. Over and over again until your lies are fully exposed and you're no longer relevant in any discussion. To which I responded, Todd, so you don't have an actual example. I have not equated homosexuality with pedophilia and bestiality. Please read the actual context of what I wrote and said, okay? As for self-publishing my book, why did I do that? Do you know? You do a great job of ugly name-calling, but a very poor job of backing your rhetoric. I'm still waiting. 866-34-TRUTH. What's your take on the biggest problem facing society today? Biggest problem facing American society today, or the biggest problem facing the church today? What's your opinion? If someone came up to you, and, or if the Lord said to you, okay, what's the biggest issue? What do we have to work on? What's the biggest thing facing us? What would you say? 866-34-TRUTH. Previous caller we didn't get to, teaching of repentance, by which I take her to mean our failure to teach what true repentance is, our failure to bring a message of repentance to the church and to the world, something I would agree with. Okay, North Carolina. This is Associated Press. 3 days ago, I was waiting for today to get to it. Obama opposes North Carolina gay marriage amendment. Oh, this is curious. And if you listen to this show, some of you have been listening to me in North Carolina for 3 years steadily now, or more, close to 4 years. Actually, 4 years. Some of you have been listening to me regularly here in North Carolina. You know I'm not a President Obama basher. You know that when he was running for presidential office, I took issue with him occasionally. I took issue with other politicians occasionally. It had nothing to do with color. It had nothing to do with party affiliation. It had nothing to do with gender. It had to do with issues. So if you listen regularly, you know for a fact, I'm not an Obama basher. I am a truth lover, and I will speak the truth. Mr. Obama, when he was interviewed by Rick Warren had John McCain and President Obama in his church for a televised debate interview. And President Obama said that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Did he not? Didn't he say that from a Christian perspective? Well, many didn't believe him. Many said, no, he's made clear what his intentions are. He's made clear in writing what his intentions are. He's made clear in previous speeches what his intentions are. So, of course, he has worked tirelessly to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. He has directed Department of Justice not to uphold the Defense of Marriage Act, even though it is ratified law. He has decided that's a law they are not going to back. He has given very vocal support to gay activists when he spoke at the Human Rights Campaign. We don't have this audio clip in front of us, but we played it after it happened. He spoke at the Human Rights Campaign dinner, and this is the world's largest gay activist organization, and talked about the America he wants to see where a man tells his lesbian daughter, I not only love you, but I love your wife. And he said his views are evolving. In other words, as he finds more votes in this direction, he can now express this more. I'm sorry, but that's the obvious case. President Barack Obama took a stand Friday, so last Friday, against a proposed constitutional ban on same-sex marriage in North Carolina, a state he won in 2008 that remains crucial to his reelection hopes. While the president does not weigh in, this is Cameron French, Obama's campaign's North Carolina spokesman, while the president does not weigh in on every single ballot measure in every state, the record is clear that the president has long opposed divisive and discriminatory efforts to deny rights and benefits to same-sex couples. That's what the North Carolina ballot initiative would do. It would single out and discriminate against committed gay and lesbian couples, and that's why the president does not support it. Hogwash. Nonsense. That's an insult to our intelligence and an insult to our moral sense. Nonsense. This is saying marriage is the union of a man and a woman. That's what the amendment says, and we're looking to pass this amendment May 8th. Make sure you've got it on your calendar and you vote. Even if you're not voting that day, make sure you vote for this to uphold marriage for the good of our society. And don't let anyone threaten you. Well, if you vote for this, gay kids are going to kill themselves. How dare such things be thrown around by gay activists? Be more responsible. On this very radio broadcast, someone basically said that. Be more responsible. If you're a gay activist and if you believe marriage should be redefined, then you tell these kids, no matter what happens, no matter what society says and does, you hang in there and you be strong. No, to say they're going to kill themselves, they're going to jump off bridges if we uphold marriage as a union of a man and a woman, what kind of nonsense is that? And in point of fact, friends, the message that we preach, the message of Jesus, saves people from suicide and saves people from depression and saves people from hopelessness. This marriage amendment is to prevent some activist judge from overthrowing what is already on our books in North Carolina, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Our president said he supported that. Now he claims it is divisive and discriminatory to deny rights and benefits to same-sex couples. You can't have it both ways, Mr. President. You cannot say that marriage is the union of a man and woman and then claim it's discriminatory to uphold that. God help us. God help our president. God help our nation. God help North Carolina. Same-sex marriage is already illegal. The statement continues by statute in North Carolina, but not in the Constitution. Last year, lawmakers approved a referendum question that would amend the state constitution to say in part, marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in the state. That's the way it's always been for a reason. Tell me, please, why marriage requires two people. So, well, it has to have two people. What are you saying? You have one? Well, a woman just married herself recently. Yes, a woman just married herself. I'll share that with you later. Why is that outrageous? Why is it outrageous for someone to marry themselves? Here, I'm looking at the article right here. I'll share it with you in a little while. Yeah, that's crazy, of course. Has to be two people. Why two? Why not three? Why not five? Why not one? Why two? It's two because it's a man and a woman. It's two because the two come together for potential biological reproduction, for social compatibility, for family making that only a man and woman can do. And they are the only ones that can provide a mother and father for their kids, not a mother and a mother and a father and a father. And that's why the state cares about it. The state is the only one. North Carolina is the only one in the Southeast without such a constitutional provision. And supporters say it protects traditional marriage from being redefined by the courts. But opponents contend it's a discriminatory measure aimed at same-sex couples, and on Friday they welcomed Obama's statement. Quote, the president's support is proof that Amendment 1, which could take health care away from children, put domestic violence laws in jeopardy, in addition to hurting all unmarried couples in North Carolina, has far-reaching negative consequences, said Jeremy Kennedy, campaign manager for Protect All North Carolina Families, in a statement. To say that we only recognize marriage as the union of a man and a woman, that's the only domestic legal union that we recognize, that is going to have all these far-reaching negative consequences. Supporters of the amendment say warnings about potential side effects on domestic violence protection orders and other areas of the law amount to empty scaremongering. Yes, correct. Empty scaremongering. give me a reason why marriage should be redefined. Tell me what we have discovered that makes the biblical way and biblical truth and biblical foundations passé. I believe President Obama has no business inserting himself into the people's business here in North Carolina, said Tammy Fitzgerald, chairman of Vote for Marriage North Carolina. Fitzgerald said she thinks most voters have already made up their minds on the issue, with early voting due to start in just over a month. Obama's been praised by gay rights activists on some of his administration's actions, but has said he is still evolving in regard to same-sex marriage and isn't ready to endorse it. Friends, the statement he made endorses it. Spin it however you want. The statement he made endorses it. We'll be back. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world. God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. So I've got a question for you. What do you feel is the number one greatest issue that we're facing here in America today? The greatest problem that we are facing in America today. What is it? What do you feel is the greatest issue facing the church? The greatest problem, the greatest need. Again, to use an analogy I used in the last hour, if someone's rushed into an emergency room with multiple injuries after getting hit by a car, the doctors want to assess things immediately and figure out what is the most life-threatening, urgent need. If that person is bleeding to death, before they can deal with other things, they've got to stop the bleeding. Where do we have to stop the bleeding? What is the greatest need in the church and in society today? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay, I asked the question a moment ago, why is marriage a union of two people? Why can't it just be one? If it's not the union of man and woman together, why does it have to be two? Now, you normally think, why can't it be three, four, five? Well, how about why can't it be one? Because marriage, hang on, because marriage what? Because marriage is always two people? Or because marriage is always the union of a man and a woman. That's why it's two. You say, well, what? How can you have marriage with one person? You marry yourself. Uh-huh. Here's the article, I, Me, Do, Wed, on BillMuhlenberg.com. That's Culture Watch, Bill Muhlenberg's commentary on issues of the day. I guess it had to come to this. After all, the homosexual activists and their secular left supporters have been telling us for years now that marriage can be anything you want it to be. They made it perfectly clear that mere gender has nothing to do with marriage, so why should paltry matters like number make any difference either? We now know that marriage equality is everyone's right, and we dare not allow prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness to come in the way of real love. So if you happen to be head over heels in love with yourself, then who are we to deny you your right to marry? As usual, Bill Muhlenberg says, I'm not making this up, folks. Here's the story. Quote, here comes the single bride. Last week, Nadine Schweigert married herself in a symbolic wedding ceremony. The 36-year-old divorced mom of three wore blue satin and clutched a bouquet of white roses as she walked down the aisle before gathering of 45 friends and family members in Fargo, North Dakota. She vowed to enjoy inhabiting my own life and to relish a lifelong love affair with my beautiful self, reports Fargo's Inform newspaper. After the ring was exchanged with the bride and her inner groom, guests were encouraged to blow kisses at the world and later eat cake. Schweigert, who followed the ceremony with a solo honeymoon in New Orleans, claims the wedding was her way of showing the world she's learned to love and accept herself as a woman flying solo. Quote, I was waiting for someone to come along and make me happy. At some point, a friend said, why do you need someone to marry you to be happy? Marry yourself. Not everyone was in agreement. Some of Schweigert's friends, who'd undoubtedly seen Carrie Bradshaw register for a pair of Manilows on season 6 of Sex and the City, sorry, I missed that, Thought she was going a little far with the single pride thing. Schweigert's 11-year-old son was her biggest critic. He said, I love you, but I'm embarrassed for you right now. An 11-year-old with a whole lot more sense than his mother. And I can I guarantee you that that 11-year-old did not come by that woman just being in love with herself? There was somebody else involved with that? But she has other supporters. Piper Weiss, Shine Senior Features editor, wrote this. I believe everyone has the right to marry, regardless of sexual preference. For some people, being alone is what feels most natural. Shouldn't they, too, be entitled to tax breaks? Don't they get a moment in the spotlight, the chance to rationalize a way-too-expensive dress, the 2 weeks off from work, unquestioned, the ridiculous kitchen appliances they'd never have bought for themselves? It's time we did away with the stigma of old maids and the belief that you're not really complete without a partner. Some people are actually proud of their solo relationship status and even ready to commit to it. Everybody, together, the count of three, sigh with me. One, two, three. 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in Clearwater, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, in response to what the church needs.
Yes, sir.
A holiness movement.
Oh, yes.
You know, a real reawakening, a call to repentance, a contrite spirit, a brokenness, a willingness to serve others. And it's about time he pulled down the god of self and prosperity.
Yes, you know, Stephen, my show yesterday, we talked about the gospel of martyrdom versus the gospel of success, the gospel of it's all about Jesus in a dying world versus the gospel of it's all about me. Stephen, if someone were to ask you as an individual Christian, what's the first step that we take towards the real holiness movement, what would you say?
Really seeking God for those areas in your life that we need to turn from, what we have to repent of, a cleansing. And another powerful, important thing is that we have no concept of real Christianity because there's a test coming, and that test is called severe persecution, as around the rest of the world. Our churches teach about being comfortable. It doesn't teach about the rewards of standing firm in persecution, and it's something we really need because it's happening in communist countries, it's happening under dictatorships, it's happening in Muslim countries.
Absolutely.
And the handwriting is on the wall. Our politicians are not going to save us, our stock market's not going to save us. We have to be prepared to stand firm and not love our lives as to shrink from death.
Yes, Stephen, amen to every word that you spoke. Jesus spoke of seed that was planted in shallow ground, and it sprung up quickly. But when testing and trials came because of the word, it quickly fell away. You know, it's just like someone that's going to participate in sports. If you haven't been working out, you're not going to make it. And when we have put the focus on being consumers rather than disciples, you better believe we're not ready for the tests. What I appreciate most, Stephen, is where it starts. Like you said, what do? Okay, we start with our own lives. We start with our own lives. We go to the Lord. We say, God, shine your light on me. I know you love me. I know anything you expose in me, as painful as it is, it's out of your love. Lord, grant me repentance, deeper love for you, deeper purity of heart, mind, soul, and the revival can start in each of our lives. Stephen, thank you for every word you spoke. I agree with you, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll get to your other calls right on the other side of the break. Something that I have written, something that I have spoken that will really help provoke personal revival, will really help provoke a personal deepening and a holiness movement in your own life. One of the most important books I ever wrote, one of the most important messages I ever preached, How Saved Are We? The book, Call to Die, the audio message. Trust me on this. Make a $20 investment. This is the best we can do to get it to you inexpensively. $20, postage paid. This book, the CD, will rock your world and bring you to a place perhaps you've not been before. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Call right now to order. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. As I am soliciting your input, getting your responses to my questions, what is the number one greatest problem facing American society today? Or, could be the same answer or related answer, what is the number one greatest problem facing the church today? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. I am going straight to the phones. Is this the fastest record time? Straight to the phones. Mike in Tampa. Oh, Mike's not. Maybe that's too quick. Joey, maybe it was, well, no, but he's not there anymore. So couldn't have been too quick. 866-34-TRUTH. Vic in Denver, Colorado, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. Thanks for the question today.
Well, thank you.
I'm gonna say that, well, I told you call screener, it was one thing, but I think it's two. It's ignorance and apathy of the men in the church. Because of my job, I get to monitor a lot of Christian radio. I really enjoy your program and how you help us out here keep up on things. And I can find an ear that's interested in hearing what I have to say about current events, but I can never find a heart that's willing to go out and actually do something about it.
Mm. So if you sum that up then, what would you say? That people see an issue, but there's no passion, there's no depth of conviction to get involved? Is that just the broader apathy that's in the body as a whole?
I think it might just be a result of our lifestyle here in America, that we're not feeling threatened on any particular front, so we don't feel a need to have to do anything. In a country where we eat even when we're not hungry.
We do feel threatened, it reminds me of this. Have you ever, after a big meal, you don't want to do anything. You just want to sit down and just kind of vegetate. Yeah. I remember I was at a prayer meeting one night, and we had been having great prayer meetings at our church, and this particular prayer meeting seemed real flat. And one of the brothers there, I remember he said, "Brethren," kind of used King James kind of talk many years ago, "Brethren, we are too fat to fly." He said, "Before we came here to pray, we all had a big meal, and then we show up to pray, we are too fat to fly." And I thought, boy, it's a picture of our lives in so many ways, that we've just gotten so much into feeding our carnal appetites, whatever they are, be it food, be it sports, be it entertainment, be it lust of the flesh, whatever they are, that even when we agree something is wrong, there's not the conviction, the power, the grace to act on it. We've become numb. We become cold, which absolutely means that we need awakening. We need awakening. Vic, thank you for the call. Succinct and clear. 866-34-TRUTH. Angel in Atlanta, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Well, hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. I couldn't hardly hear you, so I wanted to make sure you heard me.
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I think that it's a dual issue. Number one, obviously, the absence of truth. And then tolerance. It's like we tolerate everything. It's like, I'm just watching how we so-called Christians interact with the world. And we've become so apologetic. I mean, we apologize for everything. It's like, they have backed us into a corner, and we have run with our tails between our legs, and we're afraid to say this, to speak this, to, address things that totally break the heart of God. And I remember once upon a time when I was growing up, we go into various homes. I don't care who home you went into. There was a Bible on the table. It was, whether they read it or not, the Bible was there. You go into homes now, there are no Bibles anywhere, not visible anyway.
Yeah, and if they're visible, how much are they impacting us? You're right. You're right. We're in epidemic mode, friends. We need national awakening. Thank you, Angel.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My joy to be with you on the air today. I tell you, I wish I could just let some of you go on talking, because what you have to say is so to the point and so clear, and just in a few sentences helps us to realize how far we have fallen, how we need to get back to God and turn to Him. No, America has not been a perfect godly nation, but I'll tell you, there are many things we used to walk in that were realities that are far, far from us today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What do you feel is the greatest problem facing either society or the church today? And it could be two sides of the same coin. I'm sitting waiting to go into the dentist yesterday, sitting next to a younger guy, I don't know, maybe 20-ish. We're sitting next to each other, and there's some show on just the TV. I'm doing emails on my phone and reading scripture for a while. And then I look up, and there's some commercial, and there's some soccer players running on the field. Next thing I see, a guy, you know, strips his clothes off. He's running his underwear. I said, huh? And next thing you start to see ladies strip, you know, pulling their shirts off. I looked away, and I looked at the guy. I said, what in the world? And he reacted the same way. And I said, this is right in the morning, a commercial. Now, maybe this stuff is all over the place, and I just haven't seen it. It's just another sign of the decadence, the lack of modesty, the lack of God consciousness that is in our society at an epidemic level. And there is, look, Jesus is Lord. There's always hope. But unless we recognize the urgency of the hour, it's unlikely that we will pursue Him as we need to, or even examine our own lives as we need to. And I say we. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael in Atlanta, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Earlier, your caller indicated that we do have enormous amounts of tolerance. And then the other one that I heard is initially society. You mentioned earlier about society. There are at least no more than 2,500, probably more, I should say, denominations around the world. The most pressing issue, besides personal accountability, is the scripture points out, my people to come out. Separate yourselves. Mm-hmm. I think the most pressing one is the false teachers that are misleading God's people in concert with Satan. This one has not been and is not being promulgated by the church as a whole. Mm. They are so much misleading.
Michael, let me just ask you a question. Without you naming names, what do you feel is the type of message that is such a misleading message that's being taught?
Very good, sir. First of all, the church is supposed to come out from the society we are integrated by choice, by pressure, by the power of Satan. And the woman correctly pointed out the tolerance part is because of Satan's desire and of course, the limited power God has given him according to our revelation, that we are basically going along with the crowd. The definition that you gave about marriage is part of that. If the church is specifically consistent with the teaching of Christ, not only that they have to bring in this truth to the society, but the church members as a whole, without any mention of any person or any organizations, are not basically teaching this truth, and there are so much struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Even Christ pointed out clearly to the disciples, there are so many false teachers, sir.
And Jesus did warn, just to jump in, Michael, Jesus did warn to beware of false teachers, and that warning comes throughout the entire New Testament, to beware of false teachers, to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And you know, what I've used, Michael, as a test, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, when Paul warns against it, he speaks about people gathering around themselves teachers who'll tell them what their itching ears want to hear. I've always used that as a criterion. What is it that the flesh wants to hear? What is it that caters to the flesh and tells my itching ears what they want to hear if I'm one of those people? It's a way to help identify false teaching because it does not go the way of the cross, repentance, holiness, devotion to Jesus, and devotion to a lost, dying world. Thank you for calling. 866-34-TRUTH. Sunny in Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon. I love your program, Dr. Brown. And the comments are excellent, but I have to agree with caller number one. I don't think our people get involved. You know, we're involved in, electing a president. We don't hold anybody from the mayor on up accountable. What are they going to do about the cursing that I hear every day? What are they going to do about that part? I mean, it should... You know, from when our country was founded, if that would have been a part of it, they would have been burned at the stake. You know what I mean? But we allow, gay parades. And if you've ever seen one, I saw one accidentally, and it was horrifying. And for what they do and what they show on TV, you know, our Christian people, I mean, we're great about going to church, but, you know, we should be maybe having, you know, a get together and say, okay, we're going to put a full page ad and we're going to, you know, have our own little get together and the conference and with our legislatures. And we'd like to have people that are going to represent us because we also pay taxes. Our newspapers, you know, forget that they even represent a Christian people.
Yeah, Sunny, a couple of thoughts. One is, even when it comes to Great Commission, let's not even think about moral, social issues, political issues. When it just comes to Great Commission, when it comes to reaching a dying world, when it comes to funds going to unreached people groups and funds going to those who've never heard the gospel, I mean, we'll spend 1,000 times more than that, 10,000 times more than that on some little piddly thing. Or stuff that we just want or need in our own lives or our own buildings, as opposed to saying, okay, what really matters is what's on God's heart. And yeah, it's an epidemic of apathy, Sonny. It's an epidemic of, even if we acknowledge something, there doesn't seem to be the will to act on it. Almost like we've been put to sleep. And you know, we hear sounds in the distance, but we're dull to respond. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Bud in Columbus, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Number one issue in the world at large is that I find that the Bible answer questions about life and about man and God, period. And I see that it's a few comparatively that really search the scriptures. And what I'm saying is the Bible claims things that all these gobs of religions do not claim, and it gives answers. And people, most of the time, it's only scholars that get deep into the scriptures. So if God has the questions to answers to life, why isn't more people concerned about his message? Because in order to get the attention, people have heard about the Lord and all that, but they don't seem to have the desire and the will to follow it to its logical conclusions. All these other books on religions and all that, they don't make the same claims, and the claims that they make, I find a lot of cases are so ridiculous. Yeah. It has no founding substance with it. So yeah,
let me just jump in because we got a break here. and hopefully it's what you're saying as well, sir. It's one thing to talk about how wrong everybody else is and how the world isn't doing this and false Christians aren't doing this, but what about us living out what's actually in the Word? What about us taking seriously the mandates of Scripture and really living this thing out? And really, in that sense, proving the truth of God's Word by standing in obedience and making lifestyle choices. Now, some do, but many don't. We can criticize others for not believing scriptural standards, but are we living it out? Are we, in that sense, putting the truths of God into practice? We'll be back. Thank you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I want to get right back to the phones. Many of you holding what's the greatest problem facing church or society today. I so appreciate what you have to say. Many different calls, many different perspectives. So much I absolutely resonate with. 866-34-TRUTH, Willie in Belmar, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing, Michael?
I'm doing well. Thanks, sir.
I listen to you all the time, man. I really enjoy your show, but just to make
appreciate
it quicker
that.
Than a lot of other people are waiting, I think the two greatest problems in our society today is homosexuality and abortion.
Yeah.
And I say the abortion because when I was a young man, I'm 66, when I was a young man, there were 16 and a half people working for every person on Social Security. And that number, I think, because of abortion, is down to about 2 people for every person on Social Security, which is destroying our economy. And then when I look at same-sex marriage, I look at the attack on the family as God designed it.
Yeah.
And the family is the very foundation of this country. Without the family, this country is going under.
Yeah, and Willie, absolutely. And just because there are other callers, I'm jumping in, but of course you're right. The assault on the unborn in the womb, the ultimate assault on innocence, the assault on life with very tragic, practical consequences on society, and homosexual activism, that's what we're talking about, the activism that wants to change society, change marriage, redefine sexuality, gender, all these things. These are massive cultural, moral, social, spiritual issues. Jesus is Lord, but we need to take this moment very, very seriously because the heart and soul of our nation is at stake. Hey, Willie, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay.
God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Mike in Tampa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Mike. Yes, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, Larry. Hey, listen, you kind of hit a little bit on what I wanted to speak about, and that was the Great Commission, and that we're so eager to go out and to satisfy social issues and to cater to the physical man, which we call them social programs and so forth. But I think if number one, if we would be obedient to do what Christ said as far as going out and to spread the gospel and to tell women, men, boys, and girls the truth. And if we do that, starting at home first, I mean, many times, even when we're first converted with the truth, a lot of times, there's an inclination that we need to go out to maybe certain underprivileged areas or certain people or whatever. But we really, if we would, because of the breakdown in the family, we just start at home. Each man, each woman, boy, girl would start at home and use the greatest tool, which is love. I think that's what has a great impact on what's been happening, in our society and world apart.
And absolutely, Mike. And again, I'm just jumping in because of trying to get to a few calls here. When we live with that burden, we live in the light of eternity. We make decisions so that we're not ashamed of Jesus. It drives us to pray because we want to see greater fruit. And then people do come to faith. This is a massive issue. And again, people are like, well, which way do I go? Well, we can all do something, and this is something we can do. We can seek the Lord individually, And we can look to be witnesses where we live and say, God, use me to win the lost. Use me to bring backsliders home. Use me to stand for righteousness. It's foundational. It's foundational. 866-34-TRUTH. James in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Doing very well, thanks.
Okay, this is my take on it. I think that the biggest problem in society and the church as well is people's lack of critical reflection through thinking upon their own beliefs. And
how about lack of just thinking and reflection in general? But go ahead.
Well, yeah, but their beliefs in particular, it's funny, but but when they dissect what they believe, when they realize how many things are rolled up into a lot of ideas, how many separate ideas are rolled into one sometimes, if they would think about those things critically and also to imagine their lack of imagining through thinking the potential consequences of their beliefs. And I think people who are already saved and know God, they'll be brought closer to God by this kind of behavior, by thinking critically. And people who don't, people who reject God, if they would really think about what it is they believe, I think they would be led to God.
Yeah.
And I got one more thing.
Tell you what, I got to get to someone else, only to be fair, trying to get one from each. But thank you. Thank you for weighing in, James. I appreciate it. Lynn in Winston-Salem, we got to be quick because time is short, so go for it, please.
Is this Lynn?
Yeah, this is Lynn.
I'm so sorry. I couldn't hear you. I had my car radio on. I love these answers, but another thing I think that we are really slack on, because I work in a restaurant and I see it, is just speaking the name of Jesus from our mouth. And our words, our actions, and our deeds. I've heard several messages lately about Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, and I just think that goes a long way with the way we behave ourselves in public and present who Jesus Christ is, helping someone, speaking a kind word, and mentioning God's Son from our mouth.
Yeah, if we are Jesus-centered people, and without shame speak of him, just like Muslims without shame will speak of Allah or Muhammad. Look, holiness is becoming like Jesus in thought, word, and deed. And to have him on our lips, Tim Tebow, look what happens when he has Jesus on his lips. Have him on our lips, not in an obnoxious way, but in an unashamed, forthright way because of his importance in our lives and his importance to others. And then live it out every day, something, a word, a deed, an action, something will bring about change through us. Hey, thanks, Lynn. Look, there are micro problems, there are macro problems, massive problems, individual things, but every one of us can take hold of God and be changed. And look, one coal getting hotter touches another coal, before you know the whole thing's burning. Get my book, How Saved Are We?, together with the audio message, Call to Die. The book's less than 130 pages. It will penetrate right to your heart. I'm talking about from the first pages. It'll shake you. It'll burn in you. It'll call you deeper. It'll inspire you. And the Call to Die message will just have you going after the Lord. And this is my way of sowing into you seeds of personal revival, personal dedication. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. And we've packaged this together the best we can, just $20 for the book and the CD, postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. I'm so pleased that many of you responded yesterday, but so many still need to. Get this in your hands. When I know you have it in your hands, you read, you listen, I'm going to be encouraged because you're going to be changed. 1-800-278-9978, order multiple copies for your friends, for your colleagues, for your co-workers. My bottom line today, problems and crises often start with one individual person. In the same way, the solutions to those problems, the answers to those crises can start with one individual person. Be that person. Determine that you will break through with God. Determine that you will be who he called you to be. And who knows the changes that can spread from your own life.